Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Times have been as tough for many cities and towns here in the U.S. Case in point, Providence, Rhode Island's capital city, was at one point facing a $100 million deficit that Mayor Angel Tavares called a Category 5 fiscal hurricane. But in a recent address, Tavares said the city is recovering. Mayor Angel Tavares joins us on the line from Providence. Mayor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Callie. I really appreciate it.
So I remember talking to you when you first got the job and you were so upbeat and positive.
I was a lot younger then.
I bet you are. But you have done something that a lot of mayors could only wish for. Your city was on the brink of bankruptcy, and you managed to pull it right back and keep it from going over the edge. What did you need to do to stay on the road to recovery?
Well, the first thing I would say is that we have done something. And I mean that sincerely. It's been a team effort. We've had a lot of help along the way, and we've had a lot of people who have sacrificed in order to help us move the city away from the brink. And that was the employees, all of whom really sacrificed, redid their contracts, took a pay cut, paid more in health care, made different types of concessions to help save the city money. And so I'm very grateful to all of our city workers, our teachers, our police officers, our firefighters. We had to do some other things as well. We had to close schools. That was something that was traumatic and difficult, but it was something that was necessary and had a big impact, obviously, on neighborhoods and on our students, but it was something we had to do. We also worked to cut spending, something else that was necessary, and you know, no one's really spared there, but we needed all of us needed to do a part. And that's just the beginning, Callie, because and on top of that, we got a lot of help from our General Assembly in terms of assisting us with support to move the city forward, and we were very fortunate there. And the last two big pieces that I would tell you is that we were able to get all of our major tax-exempt institutions, our universities and our hospitals, to all support the city, and really in an unprecedented way. We're very grateful for that. And last but not least, we were able to reform our pensions, working with all of our unions, working with our retirees, coming to an agreement on how we can have pensions that are more sustainable and more affordable for our taxpayers. So it's been a collective effort. It certainly hasn't been easy, but I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish together.
So you mentioned a couple of those points in your State of the City address, really pointing out that pension movement was vitally important, as much as the nonprofits giving more. In fact, I mean, you said it in a rather low-key way, but what it means is that those nonprofit universities that we may have heard of, the Browns and the Johnson and Wales, really gave more than what they had been giving back to the state.
Yeah, it's really been something that I'm very grateful for. Brown University made an additional commitment to us over 11 years of over $31 million, $31.5 million. And that's in addition to what they had been providing before. And Johnson and Wales University, our first, came to the table and more than tripled what they were doing before. And then with our hospitals, and we have Providence College and RISD, by the way, all also supported us. But our hospitals, for the first time in their history, even with all the uncompensated care that they provide to our citizens, they, for the first time in their history, began to make cash contributions to the city as well. And that's something that we're very grateful for as well, because every bit helps and we're all in this together. So that was a very big part of it. But you also mentioned the pensions. We just had a situation where our pensions were just too expensive and not sustainable because of things that have happened back in 1990, 1991. And we needed to make changes to make sure that people who work very hard and deserve to live their life with dignity and certainly their retirement with dignity, make sure that they were able to do that. So we're very proud of the fact that we were able to work it out with our retirees, and they agreed to cut their pension, even though they're in retirement. We're going through a court process right now to realize that, but we feel pretty fortunate in terms of where we are. And I think the one lesson I would say that I've learned is you've got to work together. This is something that, you've got to bring people together and make sure that they recognize that it's our collective responsibility to care for our city and that we all have a role to play.
Well, what could you tell some other legislators and lawmakers, and particularly the folks down in Washington, about that compromise? How do you do that? When I assume you came in with a focus and a vision, you really can't execute that if you are about the business first of keeping the lights on.
Well, I think one of the most important things is that we need to stop listening to each other and maybe stop speaking so much. Actually listen to what people are saying and try to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And then if you're able to do that, I think it makes it easier to come to some type of agreement. If you can understand the other person's position, if you can understand where they're coming from, if you can understand their view, you don't have to agree with it. I'm not saying that you need to agree with it at all. I'm saying that you need to try to understand what gives you an opportunity to then find a way to reach agreement. So that's what I would say overall to people, is that we need to listen a little bit better. And that's something that we were able to do, and we're very fortunate. We've got to work together. I mean, these problems are so big, they're not going to be solved by any one person. They're going to be solved by leaders. And so we've got to definitely work together.
Quickly, do you think you'll get the request that you put to the $4 and $5 million to cover the remaining structural deficit?
Well, we're hopeful, and I just want to say one thing. I mean, I was talking with some of the assembly leaders today, and I said, I just want to point out, we had actually $110 million structural deficit, $110 million. We're down to about $5 million, mm-hmm. And I don't want the General Assembly or anyone to think that we're just looking for them to solve our problem. We have done all the things I talked to you about that have been very difficult, and we're now about $5 million away, and we've asked the General Assembly to please help us close that final gap. But I want people to know that we've worked on closing 105, and we're asking for some help on the last five.
All right. Angel Taveras, Mayor of Providence, Rhode Island, thanks for being with us on Boston Public Radio.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I'm Callie Crossley. Our show is a production of WGBH Radio. Prepare for the storm. See you tomorrow.